Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
ES Audio.
From the Evening Standard in London, I'm Mark Blunden, and this is The Leader. The sarcophagus. Every schoolchild who's been to the British Museum knows it was the burial coffin of ancient Egyptian elites. But it's something else, something critical to stopping radiation leaking out from the reactor at Chernobyl. This now decaying steel and concrete tomb was built inside the plant over Reactor 4 in the months after the 1986 explosion to contain lava, contaminated soil and debris from the blast. British scientists are working with colleagues from Ukraine's Institute for Safety Problems of Nuclear Power Plants and National Academy of Science, and they're getting plenty of high-tech help. We're joined by Professor Tom Scott, a nuclear expert at the University of Bristol and Royal Academy Research Fellow, who's a regular visitor to Chernobyl to carry out radiation mapping research on the sarcophagus with assistance from a pack of digital canines. So what's the latest on your work mapping and the dismantling of the sarcophagus?
The task of taking the sarcophagus apart is now very much one of lifting block after block off to reveal what's left of Unit 4.
Could you explain a little about what this part of the reactor looks like?
If you think about the Chernobyl power plant site as being four reactor units all in a row, and effectively they're in pairs. So Unit 1 and 2 sit right next to each other and share some of the same infrastructure, and Units 3 and 4 also sit next to each other. It was Unit 4 which had the explosion. And after the incident, when the fires which were burning in the reactor core were put out, they built a structure over the top and around the sides of Unit 4, which is what we regard as being the sarcophagus. And it was a structure that, for the most part, is prefabricated concrete blocks and concrete shapes, which are stacked just a bit like, you know, a children's wooden block stacking toy, because people couldn't get close enough to sort of grout joints or do bolts up. So very much this structure is formed just with gravity helping to hold everything together. And it is very big blocks. So the task of taking the sarcophagus apart is now very much one of lifting block after block off to reveal what's left of Unit 4.
What kind of technology are you using?
We brought with us some really advanced scanning systems which can scan with lasers and special radiation detectors. They can create a three-dimensional map of radiation and the layout of facilities very quickly. We're combining a laser scanning technology, which can very quickly create a sort of digital twin or digital model of any facility that it goes around inside. So you can put it on a robot platform and it can walk or roll around the facility, or you can carry it yourself. And as you walk, it will form a very accurate 3D model. And then what we're doing with that same system, we've then integrated it with radiation detectors, multiple radiation detectors, pointing in different directions. And wherever you walk, you get a measure of the radiation at the same time. So ultimately, what you get from it is this 3D model. And within the 3D model, you have a radiation map that's very accurate. And that can tell you the distribution of the radiation, the strength of the radiation. Some look a bit like a bomb disposal robot, so a tracked robot. And then we also have quadruped robots, or dog robots, if you like. And in nuclear facilities, we often like to try and use the dog robots because they don't make as much contact with the floor. They just have 4 feet. And therefore, they don't pick up contamination. They stay nice and clean. Whereas you can imagine that a wheel or a track is going to, you know, scour the floor and pick up any particulate contaminations.
Is the site still dangerous? It sounds like pretty scary work. How are you protected?
For the most part, the reactor site's very clean now. After, you know, over three decades, they've really cleaned up, and they have this really big structure that they've now have in place over the sarcophagus called the new safe confinement, which effectively seals all of the space inside of it. So if they produce any dust during dismantling, it's all captured inside this structure. And that keeps everyone out in the surrounding area fine. But there are high levels of radiation still inside the sarcophagus. It's dangerous. At all times, we have the correct personal protective equipment. We have, usually at any one time, two or three dosimeters that each member of the team is wearing. And we, our dosimeters that we take from the University of Bristol are digital ones. So at any point in time, we can see exactly what the intensity of the radiation field is. We can see how dangerous it is. And we get a running cumulative tally of radiation that we've received over the course of the trip.
Many of us have seen images of what's pretty much a ghost town surrounding the plant. Could you tell us a bit about current radiation levels? And is there life inside the exclusion zone?
It's the long-lived radioisotopes that are still there, but cesium-137 is the main sort of proponent that's going to be there for a long time yet. But for the most part, in the exclusion zone, that radioactivity is actually being sort of buried, either buried directly after the incident in trenches, or since then it's been sort of buried by Mother Nature into the sort of soils and sediments. So the radioactivity drops naturally because of radioactive decay, but it also drops because material is being buried as well. And the sort of exclusion zone now really is more important for the Ukrainians because it's now used as a sort of part of it as a sort of eco reserve where they have wolves and horses and bears.
I'm sure many listeners would have seen the Chernobyl miniseries. What's your take on the show? Do you think it's accurate?
It's, for the most part, very accurate. The only bit they don't quite get right is they make it look like a helicopter crashed because of the radiation. But in reality, the helicopter crashed because it hit a crane. And in fact, we worked recently at the vehicle graveyard, which is near the site, where all of these sort of old hulls of the helicopters and tanks and trucks are all sort of lined up and dumped one on top of the other. And it's quite amazing going there and seeing everything, including the Joker robot, the robot that was lifted onto the roof of the building to try and push some of the fuel debris back into the core. I've met the Joker robot in person, in fact. And it's a very impressive bit of kit. You're wearing the clothes that they were wearing back in 1986, pretty much. So it's a full strip down in specialist changing areas into the white clothes, just like in the Chernobyl miniseries, in fact. You're wearing the same stuff. But the most important bits of PPE there are the sort of, is the masks, it's the overshoes, it's the gloves, which protects you specifically from either touching or breathing in any radioactive particles.
There's more news in the Evening Standard newspaper and at standard.co.uk. That's The Leader. We're back on Monday at 4 p.m.